would like to call to order the Safety Committee meeting. Today is September 8th, 2015, and the time is 5:40. The topic today is the no parking zones on Wildwood Drive and Summit Street. Present this evening are committee members, myself, Mark Fry, Doug Hanem. Mark Ludke is also a committee member, but he is not able to join us this evening. Also joining us this evening, and I might ask that our other people that are not committee members raise their hands so people know who you are, Katie Capellini, Jason Mishka, and Sandy Hussman. Also joining us are Chief Rodas, Kevin Aller, and Leslie Brining. Let me share with you that this meeting's purpose is to discuss the no parking zones. Please know that this is a safety committee meeting. This is not a public hearing. As a safety committee meeting, what we are doing today is we've asked our administration to please go back and take a look at their recommendations for the no parking zones on Wildwood Drive and Summit Street, and to come back with any thoughts for further discussion regarding those recommendations, whether they feel they are there's any flexibility for us to consider change in the recommendations, or whether they feel like their safety issues are too concerning to allow for any change. So what I will let you know for process today, we'll invite our leadership from administration to talk about their recommendations. We'll then invite council members to share any comments or conversation that they might have. And we will open up for public comment if you would like to make public comment. This, again, is a committee meeting. It is not a public hearing. We're not required to have public comment, but we will certainly welcome that. We would ask, when it gets to the time for public comment, that you're respectful and that you not just repeat the same comments that everybody else has. If you've got something new to say, something new to share, we won't invite you to come up. We will ask that you hold your comments to 2 minutes, although we have had a request from one particular individual that has a presentation that will be a bit longer, and we will grant that because it was a request made in advance. Our process will include first a discussion of the Wildwood Drive area, and then a discussion of the Summit Street area. So with that, what I would like to do is open up the conversation and turn to Mr. Aller for any updates on the Wildwood Drive recommendations for the no parking.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you, Mrs. Westphal. We have taken another look at the Wildwood Lane area, Bog Hollow Pine Cone area, and I do think that we need to make that area no parking, not the whole area, but to make some modifications. And I think the modifications that we plan to make is, and you can see them, they're either listed on the one side or we have a drawing on the back side, if you'd like to look at those. But basically what we're taking a look at doing is making it, or keeping the no parking between, on the curb area on Wildwood. And basically taking that curb, once you get outside of that curb, then between the two addresses of 4324 and 4332, then that would be the limit of the no parking on the east side of the street. And then what we would do, and then from that area north, then would be residents would be able to park in that area. I would also make on the west side a 60-foot area along the street, which basically would go up to that the house that's on the corner would basically go up to his garage, if you will. It's pretty close. I would make that no parking so that cars that are coming out of Pine Cone would be able to see around that corner. The side distance that we talked about would be accomplished. The 200-foot side distance that we talked about would be accomplished by doing these two combinations. And that's not a real great increase because at that intersection, you're not, according to state code, you're not supposed to park within 20 feet of it anyways. So we're extending that by 40 feet, and we'll give that sightline distance that we talked about. and be able to restore the parking in what I believe the majority of the area that was a concern the last time that we had people at the meeting. So I think this accomplishes our concern of the curve and, you know, takes into account the residents' concerns. And I would remind the residents that live in the area of that intersection, though, that they can't park within that intersection. Anything within 20 feet of the sidewalk that basically goes across that street, you know, that is it's a no parking zone, regardless of signage, you know, regardless of anything. It's considered part of the intersection, and you can't park within that area. So, and we'll make that notification to those residents. But this is our proposal on Wellwood.
Thank you, Mr. Heller. I know that you spent a lot of time looking there, looking at this area and observing the traffic patterns in this area, so I very much appreciate your working very hard to find some compromise and something that looks like a positive outcome for both parties, for the city as well as for the residents. With that, I would ask if council members have any other comments that they would like to make at this point in time, in particular safety committee members first, followed by other council members.
Kevin, I have a couple of questions. I appreciate the map. Picture's worth a thousand words, so to speak. I'm trying to get clear in my mind is, what was this area? Was this all available except for that 20-foot right around the corner of Pine Cone and Wildwood? Was that all parking available until the recent changes?
Yes, it was recently all available for parking. The no parking signs that we had installed extended from the southern limit on Bog Hollow is remaining the same. That's not being adjusted at all. And then we extended north. We had signage up all the way through the intersection with Pine Cone. So basically what we're doing is restoring parking from the end of the red line on Wildwood to the north. We're restoring parking capabilities in that area.
So that east side of that of Wildwood would be restored, correct? And the west side of Wildwood there is available for parking, is that correct?
Still able to park on the west side of Wildwood, except for in that 60-foot distance that I talked about extending from Pine Cone. Where the red line is at there on the west side of Wildwood, that would be no parking.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from council members? Thank you, Mr. Aller. Is there anybody from the audience that would like to speak to this, either in how about in a positive way first?
Yeah, it's
funny. Yeah.
Yes.
Come on. All right. Would you mind introducing yourself by
sure.
name and address?
My name is Dave Gang, G-A-B-G-A-N-G. I live at 4338 Wellwood, one of the affected properties. First of all, I'd like to thank Kevin and his crew for coming out and taking our suggestions on the trees. I know there was a little issue with one of them, and they had a problem with the chipper, but no problem. Positive recommendation would be, I think the city should consider hiring another tree person, because from the talking to the tree guys and the workers, just seemed like they had too much work to do, and we all know and love our trees. So if you drive in that area, there's a marked improvement in the visibility with those trees being pruned and trimmed. Second to that, I would ask and maybe recommend to make the stop signs a little more visible. I mean, I noticed that at the corner of Centennial and Brent yesterday coming home through that way, there's some reflective tape that's down on the post, and the reflector tape maybe around the stop sign actually is a little bit more bright and visible. I mean, just because there people seem to speed through the neighborhood, which I know is a common problem, but you need to increase that visibility, especially coming around that corner, something that'll catch your eye, maybe a reflector, maybe a trial period for one of those the flashing stop signs. I know that might be an issue with not being in a school zone, but you know, just try it. You know, that's all I'd ask to do, is to consider that. I mean, in my business, visibility is huge. Just a couple tips there. We can do things with reflective tape and some different things to make it a little better. Other than that, I really appreciate your help and your commitment to get things done in a quick manner. So, thank
Thank you very much for your comment. Anyone else like to speak in favor of these suggestions? Mr. Ingersoll, and please introduce yourself and your address.
Yes. My name is John Ingersoll. I live at 4333 Wellwood. I'd like to express my appreciation to the council and to the services group for the changes that have been made, particularly with the trees. And indeed, I personally support the proposal as it was expressed by Mr. Allen. One thing I would say, I was on vacation when all this happened and have now been able to watch what's going on out there for the last 3 weeks. And if you're at all concerned with the speed and the accidents that can result from speed, once those lanes were opened up with the no parking on one side and the through pattern from stop sign to stop sign opened up, the speed went up a good 5 to 10 miles an hour. What had been maybe a 20 to 30 mile an hour speed expectation, having lived there when we were parking on both sides of the street, it went up to about a 30 to 40 mile an hour when you had a clear shot. Parking intermittent here and there does tend to slow down the traffic speed, and maybe that can offer some safety considerations in whatever you do for us in the future or for others in similar circumstances. But I agree with what you're proposing, and again, thank you for your help.
Thank you very much for your comments. Anyone else that would like to speak on Wellwood in favor of the recommendations here? Is there anyone who would like to speak on the other side of the recommendations? With that, I think that we've concluded our conversation around the Wellwood issues, and we thank you for joining us today. You're welcome to stay as we talk about Summit Street. Are there any other comments or questions from council members?
Yeah, Kevin, when do you think you'll be able to implement this? What's the time frame?
We'll have to get the signs made, and because I didn't want to implement anything until we had talked to the residents and had this meeting and see what came out of the meeting. We'll have to make the signs, which, you know, take probably less than a week to get those made and then get them mounted. I would say within probably by the middle of next week, we should have these changed out.
Great.
And obviously, we'll notify the police department of our intentions and react accordingly to people parking there. So the chief is aware of these changes.
Thank you very much. With that, we'll move on to a discussion of our Summit Street area, and again, we'll use the same process, allowing Mr. Aller to share with us any recommendations they have that might allow some capacity for adjustment in that particular neighborhood.
Thank you again, Mrs. Westfall. We've taken a look at this area as well, and this is a unique area within the city in that the amount of traffic that it gets, and but still being a residential area in nature. We did have our speed units posted in this area for almost a 2 week period, about a 11 day period, I believe it was. The average number of vehicles traveling in those streets is 1,600 in each direction. And the average speed for the area is 30 miles per hour. And the 85th percentile speed, which means that 85% of the vehicles that travel that area travel slower than 36 miles per hour. And the speed limit is 25 in there. And 5 miles over the speed limit, yes, that's speeding. But not terribly. I think if anybody were given a ticket for going 30 and then 25, I think they would be quite upset. And it is extremes. You have the crazy speeds where, you know, it's late at night or even midway through the morning. We're able to track when these vehicles come through at what time and everything of that nature. So It is, it's a great tool. It gives true data rather than what may be perceived.
Mr. Chair, can I ask you a quick question? Did you say there was, when you were doing this traffic study, 1,600 cars going each way?
I believe that's correct.
And what was the time frame on that?
Well, during the course of the time period, over that time period, you had 16,000 cars going, traveling northbound. You had 12,000 cars coming southbound during that time period.
Yeah.
The
16,000.
Average
over the 10 days.
For the weekday, you had 1,800. Then the weekend, you had 1,400 for the northbound. Then for the southbound, for the average weekday, you had 1,100. And then you had, on the average weekend, you had 853 cars. So
it was interesting to us. Again, you talk about perceptions. Thank you. You talk about perceptions, and you know, I know my perception was that we had more southbound traffic, but it actually comes out to where the northbound traffic is greater than the southbound. So that's another advantage to those units. Again, it gives you actual data. It tells you exactly what you have, what the cars are doing, and it's a great tool. In that area, what we did is we took a look at the high traffic periods. And as you can imagine, it's probably not surprising that it's, you know, early in the morning and then late in the afternoon. And, you know, the reason that we made that area no parking is because of the safety factor, because of the traffic counts, and, you know, to try to prevent something major happening before it happens. But we do realize, we heard the citizens, you know, when they were in at the council meeting, and we do realize that puts a burden on that area. And so we took a look at the data that we had and, you know, came up with what we believe to be a solution that will still provide the safety, the increased safety that we need, but also allow the residents to be able to have some of the benefits that they've had in the past. So what we're proposing for Summit Street is that the signs will be modified to read that there is no parking from 7A to 10A and 3P to 6P Monday through Friday. Those are the high traffic periods, is when we have the highest volume of cars going through the area, and obviously that increases your chances for the accidents. Any other time, there'll be parking as normal on the west side. The east side will continue to be no parking. but those are the modifications that we plan to make with the parking requirements. We also will be adding stop signs to the Erie Street intersection. So the Erie Street intersection will become an all-way stop. And that's the extent of our plans in that area, Mrs. Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Eller. I do have one question. Could you refresh my memory on the reason that you picked Erie Street over Orchard Street for the stop sign?
It's more of a, I'll call it, it's more of a mid-block type stop sign. Obviously, more traffic coming on Erie Street rather than Orchard, and so that's why we've chosen to do Erie Street.
Good. Again, I think I appreciate your work in terms of taking a look at this and coming back with some recommendations for the council members. Is there anyone who has, in particular safety committee members first, who have additional questions or comments?
I have a couple questions again, and this is just a matter of context for me. When you talk about the traffic flows, obviously I presume that traffic flow that you referred to earlier, Kevin, was substantially higher than a standard residential street. How much higher is it?
Obviously, it's going to depend on the neighborhood,
right,
and how far. You know, if you take a look at like the Tamworth and Weldwood areas we were just talking about earlier, you know, those are very long streets with a lot of neighborhoods, so their neighborhood counts are gonna be higher. But, you know, typically, if you look at your typical subdivision, you know, you're looking that you've got about 100 to 150 houses within that area.
Mm-hmm.
And so you figure two trips per day, two people in the household, you know, you're looking at about, you know, 600 to 800 trips a day. Where here, you know, we're at double that.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's because of the traffic count, that's why it's considered more of a collector street than a residential neighborhood. I certainly understand it's a residential area, but the traffic count, you know, causes that to become a collector street.
And in regards to putting the stop sign in on Erie, going north south on Summit, the stop sign, what is the city's typical installation notification, obviously to the residents, I presume, of this, but how are we making sure that the people who aren't residents don't blow through the stop sign, I guess is the question I try to ask in a more technical way.
When they're first installed?
Yes.
Or in general, okay. When they're first installed, we're probably just in advanced signage. When we changed some of the lights on Monroe Street that used to go to flash at night, we changed those to where they were in full operation. So it was either green or red. We made advanced signage for that and put those up about 7 days in advance of when we change those signals. So we'll probably do the same thing there. In this case, we'll probably install the stop signs and then put advanced signage that, you know, stop ahead, new sign, you know, something like that. Everything that we do is based on the OMUTCD, Ohio Manual of Uniform Traffic Code.
Okay.
And
that's a mouthful.
That's a mouthful. That's why it's OMUTCD.
Yeah, I understand.
But that's what we base everything on. And there's advanced notice signage in there, and so we'll do whatever that says to put on.
Now this OMUTC, mm-hmm. did I get that right?
Mm-hmm.
Is there some guideline or rule of thumb or information in there or elsewhere that you know of that by installing the stop sign on Erie that it would tend to slow that traffic down that you had mentioned with the 85 percentile being at 36 miles an hour rather than the 25, which is what the speed limit really is?
Mm-hmm.
How much does that help us in that regard from a safety perspective?
There's really nothing in there to indicate that by putting that stop sign, we'll see a 3 mile per hour drop or something like that. No, there's really nothing of that. It's just, you know, your hope and the plan and the desire is that by that stop sign being present, that they're going to stay lower in the speed, knowing that they've got to hit the brakes in a little while anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than right now, we've got a straight run. So.
And one last question in regards to the stop signs on Erie. If my recollection from my days of learning is 30 feet from a stop sign before you're allowed to park, is that correct?
That's correct.
And does that impinge upon any of the residents on either side of the street as far as driveways and those kinds of things with that 30 foot? Is that going to be a problem for those residents?
We will have to take a look at that because one of the things that we'll have to take a look at is where our stop bars are at, where the signage is going to be posted and things of that.
Okay.
So those are kind of questions that are still hanging out there a little bit. But we work around those, you know, on a daily basis because we don't install stop signs daily. But,
right.
We've had to work around other situations and we'll do the same.
Okay, thank you.
Kevin, just to be clear, the mechanism, the rationale for the stop sign is to get people to slow down, right? It's not that there's a particular problem with that intersection with accidents or anything, is there? You're just trying to kind of interrupt the flow a little bit?
Yeah.
Do you think that because that stop sign's there that some of the people that use that as a bypass to get maybe into Michigan would maybe not use that road because it's not as easy moving now? Or
the potential
in other words, would you shift that traffic count by deterring people from going that way, or do you think they'll keep going that way?
There's a potential there, but I don't see, because there's no other high-speed option. Again, it's 25 mile an hour, and, and the, you know, the majority, 85% of the people travel 36 or less on there. So I don't think that the speed change or a stop sign change is going to make a big impact.
Not unless there was multiple stop signs on the way and it became to be an annoyance.
Yeah, if you want stop sign, then that might do something. But,
okay.
But the one in Block, I don't think will have a big impact as far as the volume is concerned. So.
Right. Thanks.
Kevin, do you think there's any flexibility in the time frame that you picked? You have 7 to 10 and 3 to 6. Do you think it could be 2-hour blocks instead of 3? Like 7 to 9 and 4 to 6?
If you take a look at the traffic counts, those 3 hours, the traffic counts are very consistent, very high. They're the high periods for the day. So once you get beyond those hours, then there's a marked drop. You know, there's probably about a 15 to 20% drop in traffic, and then they continue to do that. So that's why we pick those time periods. I would hate to, you know, which I would eliminate, and then, you know, who's going to get the phone call when an accident occurs during that hour. I'm just thinking
6 hours seems like a long time.
It's less than 24.
Any other questions from council members or comments? Thank you, Mr. Aller, for your comments. And now we'll open up to public comment. Anyone that would like to speak in a positive way about the new recommendations? Okay, and anyone who would like to speak with some additional concerns regarding the recommendations?
Yep, hi.
And please,
thank you for
your name and your address.
Yep, my name's Josh Engel. I live on 5933 Summer Street. Just a couple of comments real quick before my wife comes up to get her little spiel. But my thing is, you know, as you mentioned earlier, the whole thing about perception and things. What he stated was that there was more traffic heading northbound than southbound, which was perceived we were wrong, apparently. If that's the case, why are we putting a stop sign on the southbound end of Summer Street? That's where there's less than a quarter mile until you had a stop light. So my thing is, you need to have a stop sign at Erie and Summit, but also at Orchard. Because once, if there's more traffic heading northbound, once you get past that first stop sign, it's clear cut all the way through. Majority of people live north of Erie on Summit Street as it is. So if it is a perceived that we're wrong that more traffic flows south, or wrong actually flows north, I think there needs to be a stop sign at that intersection as well, in Orchard and Summit. That would be my only two things to say real quick. So.
Thank you.
Hi, Laura Clemens, 5933 Summit. Thank you, everyone, for working with us on this. I am appreciative of that. We, I think, are all pretty happy with this. I'm feeling okay. One thing I would like to ask for is for the dotted line, the passing zone, to be removed. That was one of our recommendations. If we got no parking at all, that was sort of what we were going to hope to work with. As it stands right now, you can pass people on my street, and I've seen people pass school buses twice in my 10 years living there. I'd like that fixed. I don't see any reason why anybody needs to pass someone in a 25-mile-an-hour zone. Our other recommendation was maybe, I think, we're going to go 60 feet within an intersection of no parking. Okay, that's great, because we were going to ask for 50. So my only concern, the only sort of detraction I have to this is, I understand you can't change an entire policy because of one family on a street, and I thought maybe my husband would speak to this, but I'm concerned with the hours. Not everybody, I appreciate the wiggle room. I get it's better than 24, but my husband has kind of an odd job. He works in transplant medicine. He's coming and going at all hours of the day. And for us, when he comes home after being in an OR for 20 hours, he gets home at 4 in the morning and park our car in front of the street, or his car. And so then in the morning when I need to take kids to school, his car's there. Right now I'm jacking cars here and there and moving them. So 7 to 10 seems like a lot. I would like a 2-hour window. I think that'd be a little more conducive to the way that we live, but then again, I understand one family on the street can't change everything. But I think it's a good compromise. Neighbors, are we happy?
2 hours.
2 hours would be great, 2 hours in the morning and 2 hours in the evening. And also, is there a possibility to pull a permit for contractors at your house? We have a kind of a large expansion plan for our place, and the other day we had issues with the Tyler in our basement, and I had to ask him to stop so that he could move his truck so that I could pick my kids up from school. I'll gladly come fill out a permit if I don't have to jockey cars in the driveway every day. And I think my neighbors would too. So other than that, I think we're happy. With the 2 hours would be great.
You know what would you want to step up to the microphone and introduce yourself? Thank you, Lara. And again, I think that we heard the service director's comments in the 2 hours, so they will have to make that determination.
My name is Austin Armstrong. I live at 5823 Summit Street. And I guess my concern would be what 2 hour time frame, because if you have from 7 to 10, I mean, and that's the high traffic time. If you push it to 8 to 10, then you have that conflict with traffic from 7 to 8. Or if you cut it short and you go 7 to 9, then you're going to run into problems with the later traffic on that end. So that's just kind of my concern.
Good observation.
That's all I have to say.
Thanks, Austin. Any other comments?
I'm going to say one more thanks. I actually have something else. Just as a gentleman at Wildwood actually kind of mentioned, you know, putting cars in the street actually slows down traffic, kind of cuts it up and things like that. And so my concern would be if we're going to do it the busiest traffic times, then you're giving them our issue now is you're giving them drag strip basically for the whole day. If that's the busiest time frame, now you're going to be giving them drag strip those 3 hours in the busiest time frames. My issue would be, as John said earlier in Wildwood, put some cars out there. That's going to slow down the traffic as it is. We're not parking 60 cars on the street. There may be 10 cars on the street. It's not like the whole street's lined. So my thing is, if you leave that open, then we still have the same issue that we're faced with now of cars going. And you say it's only 85% of the people are doing 36 miles an hour or less. That's still 15% of the people who are actually doing faster than 36 miles an hour. That's a lot, especially when you have cars that have how many people travel down that street? I mean, yeah, that's 1,600. That's 15% of 1,600 still doing better than 36 miles an hour. That's a lot. So again, if you don't allow for that parking there, then again, you open up that drag strip. And so we're still back to kind of square one where we're at right now. So.
Kevin, I don't mean to put you on the spot, Kevin. And if the answer is I don't have an answer, I go back and look at it, that's totally fine. The first question is, have you given thought to additional stop signs along that way? Just to kind of deter people or slow down more?
Additional what? I'm sorry.
Additional stop signs along that road.
We have taken a look at it. In all honesty, we're making somewhat of a concession in putting the stop signs out of Erie. Stop signs are not speed control devices.
Absolutely. They're traffic. They're traffic control devices.
Okay. And but again, because of the unique presence of that street and how it exists, we're going to we decided to install the stop signs and see how that affected the speed through that area. Because what we'll do is once we have them up for a while, we'll reinstall the boxes and take a look at the data again and see what happens. So so at this stage, we'll take back, just as we heard the first time, we hear what people are saying, and we'll take back and consider it. But we don't plan to use stop signs as speed control.
And then the comment about the lane lines for passing zones, mm-hmm. have you given that any consideration too? Because I like what you said earlier about, you know, comparing it to other residential streets. And if you look at Tamworth or something like that, you don't have lines indicating that you have passing and no passing zones.
There's no lines. If we took the line out, I have to take a look because of that being designated a collector street. And please, understand that we don't, while we have some input, we don't make those designations. They're made by, in, as part of the metropolitan planning that TEMCOG does. And every time you change one of those with ODOT, you have to trade, and it's quite the ordeal. We just went through it. So it's not anything that somebody just looks at and says, oh, that's a collector street. I believe in collector streets, I do believe that you have to have lanes marked. So I don't think we have the options of completely removing them. Somebody in the past, one of the conversations that I have had in the past mentioned making a no passing, putting solid lines up. We wouldn't be able to do that because with the parking, if someone has to go around the car, they're breaking the law as soon as they do that because they got across the yellow line. So that's not possible. Putting a double yellow is not possible.
Can you have no passing during certain hours? Or is that too complicated to try to figure out and unravel? Yeah. Okay. Again, I'm just trying to, just asking the questions. Yeah. Thanks.
And regarding the contractor question, we would be able to do something where they could get a right-of-way permit be able to work in the right-of-way. They would have to put cones up and to direct traffic around the truck. It would have to be in the compliance with the ONU, TCD, just like we do. If we have to close off a street to do some work, they would have to follow those same requirements. But they could apply for a right-of-way permit.
And where would they apply for that?
That would be our office.
In your office?
Yeah, service department.
Okay.
Yep. And I did speak with Laura. We don't have anything in the zoning. I told her at that time we don't have anything in there because I was thinking zoning code type issues. But then we would be able to use that right-of-way permit for those situations. So.
Mr. Miller, you know, they were referencing those early morning hours and the concern that by not having cars parked, people would be able to use that as a speed strip, essentially. But my sense from what you said is that those are our high traffic times from 7 to 10 and then from 3 to 6. So would that suggest that there's really enough traffic that there would not be able to have to be a speed strip? I mean, you've probably got more cars going through at that time versus just a straight lane of open road. Is that?
I hate to make that. I mean, that could be the case, but you're going to get, if somebody wants to speed, they're going to speed regardless, no matter what. And you know that, Ms. Collins, indicated that she's seen cars pass buses. I don't question that. We have employees that travel that route, and they told me that people will pass them as they're coming into town. If they slow down to 25, people will pass them. So that's something that our police force will have to continue to be diligent out there. And it's obviously we can't be any place, every place all the time. But it's that's something that we'll just have to continue to keep an eye on.
Thank you. Any other comments from the audience? Please name and address.
My name is McConnell. I live at 5903 Summit Street. And I do appreciate the compromise that's being suggested. As we've been looking at this, there was one thing that's noted. The chief mentioned in the city council meeting that there were more accidents in the 5800 block of Summit. And other than 5903, so I'm in the 5900 block. So I'm happier about that, but well, there's one reason for that is that the road narrows from 27 and a half feet about three houses south of me, it narrows to about 24 feet in width. And I'm not suggesting we change the compromise, but I would suggest that the city investigate in the long run, possibly widening the rest of the street to the 27 and a half feet. So that we don't have cars which just passed a car at 27 and a half trying to pass a car at 24 feet and finding out they don't have as much room. So.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Carrie Armstrong. I live at 5823 Summit Street. And I appreciate everyone's time tonight, and I appreciate very much so what Kevin and his team are working on for our neighborhood. I think compromise is fair. And I'm a school teacher, and my only concern would be that I speak on behalf of the kids in the neighborhood. And I have a 7-month-old who will soon be running the neighborhood as well with the rest of the ones that already can. We just had a new family move in across the street from us with 2 children that are going to go to Maplewood Elementary. So the neighborhood is getting more family-oriented. There's more kids in the neighborhood. I appreciate what Kevin said, because my concern was that, okay, we're going to put this stop sign up at Erie and Summit, and then that's it. But I think what Kevin said is that they will put the speed signs back up in a few months, or however, I don't know what your time frame is on that, once we see how the stop sign works at Erie and Summit. But I think that's important to revisit this issue again in a few months and see if the changes we're making and the compromise we've made is a good compromise. I don't want these changes to be made and then it's, you know, forget everyone on Summit. I think it's important to look at the issue again in a few months and make sure that the people that live, you know, farther down north of Erie Street, that the speeders, you know, aren't going to be racing down the street, because the children is the concern that I have, and we need to keep our neighborhood safe for the kids.
Good comments. Thank you very much. Is there anyone else?
Steve Rockwood, 6502 Erie. I live on the corner of Erie and Summit. Discussion was made about double yellow lines. There is a double yellow line right now from Erie Street north, about 120, 130 feet. It goes past my driveway, past Pete's driveway. I believe that that should be kept, no parking continuously from that yellow, double yellow line to Erie Street, because you can't cross a double yellow line. That's the law. That's the way it should be.
Thank you very much.
Sean Winter, 5895 Summit. Only thing I'd like to say is I appreciate, you know, the compromise, but you realize that the time frame that there's going to be no parking is when the school buses pick up the kids. So I don't know how that will affect one way or another, if it's good or bad, but I just want to put that out there. And the other thing is, you could have a solid yellow line going north and a, what's that, a single, so you can pass coming south, because there's no parking on the north side. So, thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no one else here for additional comment, we thank you for your comments. We thank you for your time. We very much appreciate your being here. We don't know what you're thinking and what's working for you or not working for you if you don't step forward and share with us your thoughts. So we very much appreciate it. Very much appreciate the administration's efforts to try and find a compromise. I know that the administration will go back and take into consideration the comments that we've heard today. I think revisiting this in several months is likely a very good idea. See how it's going. And I think with that, I'd ask if there's any other comments from council members. Well, before I do that, though, I see one gentleman raise his hand.
Just ask one question.
What name and address? You need to come to the microphone. I'm sorry.
Kevin Armstrong, I live down here at 6742 Maplewood, but I also have a property at 5839 Maplewood or Summit. But I just wondered, as far as the no parking, can we have that, is the no parking going to be just in those time frames on the, during the week? Will it be open parking on the weekend?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Right. Yep.
I just didn't hear that. So
yes.
I just wanted to.
Yes. Okay. Any other comments or questions from... One more comment from the other. We're going to call it a wrap.
Good evening. Pete Diver, 5813 Summit. Just wanted to, nothing is cast in stone, I suppose, for the big picture, because personally I would like things to go back the way they were with the parking, but we're trying to compromise here, or at least the 2-hour twice a day. But I don't see a reason why this can't be reviewed once again in a couple months and then in a year, because of things, the dynamics change, and perhaps we can go back to the parking full time. So,
thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I would just urge all of, I mean, you experience this much more than I do. I live not far from the Weldwood issue, so I know I'll be able to see how that works. I think this, we've got a good solution there. I've driven up and down Summit a lot in the last couple weeks to try to get a feel for this, but if this isn't working, you know, we're here to listen to you. I mean, we're your neighbors. We're here to solve your problems. And so I know some of you are not shy, some of you are a little more shy, but there's no, remember, we work for you, and so let us know if we can help.
I saw one other hand go up. I'm happy to take that comment, but I will ask that that be our last comment.
I'm Susan Flowers, 5845 Summit Street. I just have one question for you. Because we are very, very family-oriented on Summit Street, what happens on the holidays? What happens at Christmas when everybody shows up at 6 o'clock in the morning but no one can park? What happens on Thanksgiving when everybody shows up but no one can park? So I would ask you to consider maybe special days or special that you can pull something if you're going to have a big gathering at your house for those holidays.
Thank you very much. All right, any other questions or comments from council members?
Kevin, do we treat holidays generally as normal weekdays?
If it's on a weekday, it's always a weekday.
Yeah. Okay.
Again, I think all of these things can be taken into consideration. There are options I know that can be considered. So administration, all these will go back to administration and they'll take them into consideration.
Maybe we could add the words weekends
except
and holidays.
Right, exactly.
And New Year's days and I'll sign a black division deal.
Don't we have those great big signs that flash? Put them right out there on the wheel. Okay. Anything else? Thank you very much for the comments and for the time. Thank you to the Safety Committee members and also to the council members who joined us today. Again, thanks to all of you for joining us and for sharing your thoughts and comments. We really appreciate it, and administration for your thoughtful review and recommendations today. And with that, is there any other business for the good of the order?
If I could, while we're here as a Safety Committee, I did want to make mention, because one of the things that's been mentioned throughout these conversations is the speeding and the things of that nature. I did just want to let this committee know that through the year-to-date figures, our traffic warnings are up 36% this year over last year, and our traffic citations are up 9%. So that's the diligence of, you know, the police, that the police are out there.
What were those numbers again?
Our warnings are up 36% and our citations are up 9%. So I did just want to make note of that. We certainly know that they're speeding. I mean, we acknowledge that it's everywhere. I just did want to acknowledge that we are out there trying to catch the bad guys, so to speak, and make sure you're aware of that.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. I absolutely think we have an exceptional police force. We've been very fortunate to have very strong leadership over our police force, and it is certainly something that benefits every member of our community. So we appreciate hearing that, although I personally know that we are in good hands and take great comfort in that. So with that...
I just have one question. Sorry.
It's hard to wrap this meeting up, for goodness sake.
Real quick, you said it's not a speed control. My question is, what do you do to control speed besides the police department?
That's of course nothing.
Is that it? Okay, that's why I didn't know.
It's something that you can handle. Mr. Aller and all of us will be around after the meeting, so I invite you to please feel free to ask questions. With that, I will officially adjourn this meeting at 6:30, and I thank you all for joining us.